Oh, I have one more additional announcement to pass on. There's a wedding going to take place soon. I'm not sure of the exact date of the wedding of Jesus Christ and his bride, but the invitations have been sent out to this wedding. If you realized it, been invited to this wedding. Our Heavenly Father sent out invitations to individuals to the marriage supper. Now, not everyone is invited to this marriage supper. You know, many people have driven by this hall today since we have gathered here, but they have not been invited. But the Father's invited us. We've all been invited to that marriage supper. But we have to have a change of garment to be able to attend that marriage supper. We're not allowed to come as we were when we received the invitation. It is not a come as you are celebration when we are invited. There's a change that has to take place. We have to have the right wedding garment on. If you would, turn with me over to Matthew 22, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 1 through 8. Well, we will read what Christ has said here. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to all those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. So the invitation has gone out to some individuals, but they aren't willing to prepare to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But these also, they made light of it and went their own way, one to do his own farm, another to his own business. And even some seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. We picture here what God the Father did. He sent out invitations to many of us, those of us that are here. You know, good, bad, whatever our life was at that time, we've been invited to come to this wedding feast. But then we see here, continuing on verse 11, but when the king came into the see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called or invited, but few are chosen or selected. See, God through the years has invited many. But it says here, there's only going to be a few that will be chosen or selected to come to that wedding feast with his son, Jesus Christ. So will we be there among those seated at the table? Or will we be surprised when we are not chosen at the return of Christ? So my title today is, Will We Be Chosen? Will we be chosen? May recall the last time I spoke, we looked at Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus chapter 5. We can turn back there to Ephesus chapter 5 once again, and we'll do a little review here in Ephesus chapter 5. In Ephesus 5, as we read the last time I was here, from Ephesus, how Jesus Christ loves the church. And his example of loving the church is how the husbands are to follow. So we're here in Ephesians 5. Let's begin here in verse 25, where we read, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So we see then an example of Christ. He gave his life for us. He's our head of who we are to worship. And then verse 29, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." So we see here how Christ loves us and nourishes us, wants to take care of us. And then going back up here to verse 23 through 24, we see our responsibilities as members of the church. "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So we, as the body of Christ, we are subject to Jesus Christ. We show our love to him. You know, many believe that they're on the right course of action to enter the kingdom of God. But are they on the right course of action to enter into eternal life? Let's turn, if you would, with me over to 1 Peter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 15, and then we'll read through verse 19. So 1 Peter 4 and verse 14, we'll begin. So Peter starts off here telling us what we should not be doing. Verse 15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." So these are things that we're not to be involved with at this time. "Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." So we are to follow Jesus Christ. And then notice verse 17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel?" So we see we are being judged now. This is our time of judgment. The church, we are the body. We are being judged whether we'll be chosen to sit there at the wedding feast with Jesus Christ. Verse 18 through 19. "If a righteous one is scarcely slave, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful to our faithful Creator." So we're told here in verse 19, we are to commit our souls. We become that living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. We want to be there. We want to have that sacrifice with him and doing good to be able to glorify our creators. Now let's look at a few other scriptures to answer the question, what happens to those who do not obey God at this time, in their time of judgment? Let's go back now to Matthew 25, and we will begin in verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 And we'll begin in verse 31. In this chapter of 25, there are three parables, and all three of them have to do with Christ's return to this earth. But we want to look at this one here, beginning in verse 31, where we read, "Then the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now, some people think this is talking about separating the Israelites from the Gentile nations. That's even what my heading has in my Bible by the people here, that Schofield Association. But that isn't what this is referring to. It isn't referring to nations like kingdoms. The word here is theos, and it means race or tribes. In other words, all of mankind will be coming before Christ and his angels when he returns. And he's going to be pulling people out from all tribes around the earth. You know, we have brothers and sisters all around the earth and different tribes or races. And that is what this is referring to, how Christ will bring us before him at that time. And he says he will divide us one from another as sheep from the goats. Continuing on, verse 33. "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Well, this was planned for a long time, since the beginning of man, plan of salvation. Then Christ goes on, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" That is what he's saying to the sheep. You did these things, and while you were doing them to mankind, to your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, you were doing it unto me. So we see here then, this is the outcome for those in the sheep. They'll be with him in the kingdom. Then he said to those on his left, you know, these are people that knew Christ as well, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, everlasting mean reference to this is the final end for you. You know, you've been judged. This is what happens. "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not come to visit me." Then they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And those will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The sheep, because they did look out for their brothers and sisters, will receive eternal life. So we see here that Jesus Christ is the one who judges. Christ will render judgment. So as we read here for the sheep, those things, Christian kindness and action, that is what the sheep did. I hope all of you are listening to Mr. Gary Petty's series on agape love. It's a wonderful weekly Bible study. Take each one at a time and just listen to Mr. Petty. Because as you listen to his message, you know he has been inspired by the head of the body of Christ to bring us out lessons there on agape love. Just fantastic. And one of them was Christian kindness in action as one of those on the series. Read that. Realize what we are to do as a Christian. So as I mentioned, Christ is the judge. He will decide if we enter into eternal life or not. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Just a few. I mean, there are a number of scriptures we could go to. But let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Where we read, 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Having godly fear, recognizing we're coming before Jesus Christ and God the Father. They're judging us now. Have respect. Love them because of their goodness towards us and long suffering. Another scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. This is out of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17. Where we read, For the Lord, your God, is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. Yes, that is who we worship, him. What does it say? Who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. So God will judge us for our work. We cannot foster the idea, God understands because of my upbringing why I can't overcome. Or the events that have occurred in my life is just too hard. It is way too hard for me to overcome. I'm sure God understands. No. He does understand what we have. Overcoming is hard. We all have struggles. We have struggles with the world's influence around us. Pressure's there. Follow the world. Go after what the world is seeking, their goals, their God. And we have Satan. He's here as well. That we have to fight with. Yes, it is rough. And of course, our own fleshly pulls as well. That we have to overcome and fight with. We all have rocks on our road to eternal life that we have to overcome. But we're told we have to overcome them all. I don't know how many of you have ever driven down I-70 between Denver, Colorado and Grand Junction, and they have signs along I-70 warning about the rock falls that could take place. Because they do fall down. So we can picture on our road, and we have these rocks that fall down in front of us. And sometimes it seems like an earthquake is hit in our lives, isn't it? It seems like so many things happen all of a sudden in our lives. So many trials and crises come up. Now, just like a number of rocks on our road. It could be just not having a sin to overcome, but other things that set in. The form of a sickness for ourselves or a loved one. the death of a loved one, the grief that we go through, at times fatigue and depression in our lives. It's a rock we have to go through. Maybe we've lost our job. We have a financial crisis. And it seems like we just can't get those rocks out of the road. That's right. Because if you're on I-70 and you have a boulder come down on I-70, you can't move that boulder. You need some help. We as well, to remove those rocks in our lives. We are to call on Christ. Pray to him. Ask him to intervene, to help us to remove those rocks that we have on our road, that we know we have to overcome. And then when he intervenes, then let us be thankful for the help that he has given us, because we've seen how he's helped us at this time, and then next time we keep going down the road, another rock, okay, I can't move it myself. Call upon him again. Give him praise for all those times when he's intervened for us. I'm looking to Christ. Maybe this is a good time to look at one of Paul's letters to the church in Rome. So let's go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 to see where we get our strength from. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Excuse me. Romans 2 and verse 4, where we read, Paul writes, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, we look at the riches that God has for us, forbearance, long-suffering towards us. We can call upon him. Yes, that's the God who we worship. Then let's go back and start in verse 1 now, because we've seen now the goodness. Paul writes, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judges. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge and practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you not think this, O man, you who judge, who's practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? So we see here Paul bringing out, we are going to be judged. But now let's continue reading once again through verse 4 on into 11. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgments of God, who will render in each one according to his deed. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Patient continuance. We have to be patient, but we continue in patience and we do good. We seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So yes, we should be seeking immortality, but to those who are self-seeking, you know, selfish individuals, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath for those individuals. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. See, there is no partiality with God. We can go to him and work with him. Well, this is what we have to do. Patient continuance. Doing good so we can be among the chosen at Christ's return. Let's go now over to Romans chapter 11. And we will be reading verse 13 through 23. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13 through 23. Where Paul writes, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my mystery, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if they're being cast out in the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches." Now we're going to get ahead to being holy. First fruits, we will be holy. "For some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you." Yes, we've been grafted in, like this olive tree that he's using here, the main trunk. But the root is Jesus Christ. He supports us, gives us the strength, and we must remember that from his word, to follow his words. Verse 19. "You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Well said, Paul says. "Because of unbelief, they were broken off." Broken off because they did not believe Christ. "And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear." No, we're there with Christ because we have the faith that we're looking to Jesus Christ, the head of the body, the head of our lives, guiding and directing us. "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on who those who fell." Severity. "But toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off." So that patient endurance, looking to God, continuing to be with him. This severity, this word severity, as we read here, it means sureness of a rock, rigor, hardness. Where God is. The NIV, New International Version, has this verse, in verse 22, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." So we have to stay steadfast to the root, Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in Christ as our head. Because if we don't, we will be removed as well. So we have to continue forward in faith. "We look to him as our Lord, for he has promised eternal life to those who love and keep his commandments. He is long-suffering. He is merciful to those who keep his commandments." Let's notice another scripture over here in Hebrews this time. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 through 27. Hebrews 10 and verse 26 through 27. For we read here, For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. So yes, we've been called, we've been invited, we've been given this chance now. So let's follow the truth. We have this knowledge. Otherwise, we see what will happen. Notice verse 31. As it says here in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We are to look to God. He is our God. We should love him. What can we be doing to have the surety of eternal life and not be surprised when Christ returns? But to be chosen to sit at that marriage table. There are things we can do, and we do not have to be fearful in our life. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to be there. Well, we can be sure we will be chosen, but we'll follow what we're going to read here in John chapter 10. Turn with me now to John chapter 10. Remember what we read in regard to the sheep back there in Matthew 25 and verse 32. So I'm looking here in John chapter 10 now and read what Christ has done for us as we start out here. John chapter 10 and verse 1 through 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for he knows their voice. Now we follow Christ because we know his voice. His voice is this book here, Word of God. And we recognize his voice. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but sheep recognize their shepherd's voice. Growing up on the farm, we used to have sheep. And they would be down in the woods quite a ways away. We'd go down usually about once a week to check on the sheep and take some loose salt down to them. At that time, you didn't have to worry about coyotes like we do today around here if you had a flock of sheep. But we'd go down there, and they could be off. There's 40 acres of woods, and you'd start calling, "G'day, g'day, g'day." They'd hear your voice, and they'd come running because they recognized the voice of either my father or myself. So we recognize Christ. And it says here, regarding the sheep, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then it says here, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Continuing on, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. As we read here, there have been other voices out there, and the sheep did not hear them. Isn't that what happened to some of us in our calling? Some of us were looking for the truth. We'd gone to other congregation churches, and we sat there and recognized, this isn't the truth. They aren't speaking the truth here. And you'd leave. And you might go to another church. You might have went to four or five of them before you found the truth, the shepherd. You found Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And there's been false ministers from time to time who were nothing, acted like a hireling. Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even as I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There are other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. So we see the shepherd that we follow, what he has done for us. And we're grateful. And we do follow him. Now drop down to verse 26 here and verse 30. Once again, regarding sheep. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes, the body of Christ follows Jesus Christ. He's the head. We do that. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. So we can be positive. We're following Christ. Eternal life is there for us, brother, as we follow Jesus Christ. Let's look at some more scriptures. Now out of the book of Psalms. The first one is Psalm 79 and verse 13. Psalm 79 and verse 13. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Yes, we will show God's praise to all generations when we're there in the kingdom as first fruits. We'll be showing forth and giving praise to our King. So all generations can see that we worshiped the King in this life. Psalm 95, verse 6 through 7. Psalm 95, verse 6 through 7. O come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That is what we are. We are pasture. We are sheep. We admit to following a shepherd. We want to hear that shepherd's voice in our ear so we can follow him. And now Psalm 100, the whole psalm here, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Yes, this is the God that we worship. We've been reading about God's goodness that we have here. Yes, we read that he is the one who created us, and we are his people. What else can we be doing as one following the Good Shepherd so we will not be surprised when Christ returns? James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12, where James, writing to the church, as he says here in verse 1, to all 12 tribes scattered abroad, we read what he wrote. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So once again, promise here. And we love Christ, follow him, crown of life. We've been blessed. We've been called to be the first fruits so we can be there at that wedding supper when Christ returns. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be reading through verse 15. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace be multiplied in peace to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to the life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Being part of the tree, Christ, his spirit flowing through us, he's helped us to overcome the corruption of the world. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Petty's series on agape love, one of them is having that Christian doing hospitality, that Christian kindness in action, as we read here in verse 7. This godliness, kindly affectionate, caring for one another, giving preference to one another, being hospitable, and distributing to the needs of the saints. All these part of that godliness of brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness and love. Continuing on here then, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful, but in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do these things, we're bearing fruit. That is why we were grafted in, to bear fruit. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call, and election sure, our invitation and our selection sure. He says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here is a formula how to enter into the kingdom, to be there. Continuing on. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up for reminding you. Now here's Peter later in his life. He says, I know you know all these things, but I'm going to keep repeating them to you. As long as I'm alive, Peter says, I have to let you know. I'll stir these things up. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And we do. We have a reminder from Peter. His message is here in God's word. Even after he died, we still have this message that was inspired to be given to the churches and is here today. So if we do these things, as it says in verse 10, we will not stumble. Now let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4 through 5. Coming down to the last scripture of the day. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. We couldn't always look at all seven churches, but this one I just happened to pick this one out. Revelation 3, verse 4 through 5. This is to the Sardis era of church. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So there's a few people, Sardis, that were worthy because they had put on the proper wedding garment. Verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. See, we overcome, we will have this white garment. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess in his name before my Father and before his angels. As Christ ahead of us is looking forward that we'll be there, and he's going to confess before the Father about us, regarding us. So as we have read today, Jesus is telling us that we can have the assurance that we will be chosen to be seated at the marriage supper if we are overcoming and looking to Jesus Christ as our head and the shepherd's voice we are following.